Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com. Welcome, everyone. My guest today is lead analyst Logan Motoshami to talk about the jobs report and how falling wage growth could help mortgage rates. We'll also talk about spreads and inventory. Before we dive in, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, Vesta, for making this episode possible. Logan, welcome back to the podcast.
Sarah Wheeler, this week was probably one of the more fun-filled, nerdy weeks I've had in a while. The jobs report itself was just the earthquake or the firecracker blowing up too. And we have a lot to talk about, and there's some underneath positive stories that could be very good for housing from this entire week that I think unless you like read in between the lines, you might not be able to see it.
Okay, so we are recording this on Friday. The jobs report just came out. What did it say? There's a headline and then there's the internals.
So the labor market has been getting softer for some time. And for a long time, the Federal Reserve has said, we have to attack the labor market. We have to attack the labor market, labor supply. And this is why I'm not a Fed pivot person since 2022, is that if they keep on saying they have to attack the labor supply, all that means really now is that wage growth has to be cooling down. So this gets into the really, really nerdy economic talk, but I think I could finally get there since wage growth is almost at 4% year over year. The Federal Reserve has this kind of model for themselves that if you have 3% wage growth and productivity growth at 1%, something to that nature, that's acceptable. The productivity numbers in America have been really good lately. I personally believe that the Fed doesn't believe in those numbers, because if they did, they'd be screaming victory right now. That means wage growth is not inflationary whatsoever, and productivity gains takes that out. That's good for the economy. It's good for companies in that context. But here, wage growth is a little bit above 4%. And assuming that the softer labor market continues, we're going to get to that 3.5 to 3% wage growth data sometime next year. And if that occurs, the Fed is now, again, really restrictive on their policy, because I have to make sense on why they talk about fake rate cuts. And we've had all these Fed members, Kashkari came out and said, no rate cuts. President Logan says, no, we should not cut rates yet. Everyone follow the two-year yield. If the two-year yield goes above 4.74%, then they're taking rate cuts off of the marketplace to me. And it hasn't happened yet. So to me, the market is still putting in 3 rate cuts this year, whether it starts in June or July or whatever. There it is. But the fact that wage growth is now slowing down and the labor market is softening, forget about the headline print of 300,000. That's what Powell said. Powell said that we created a lot of jobs last year and the growth rate of inflation fell. So this was the whole, you don't have to create a job loss recession to defeat inflation. So this is a positive sense going forward because, oh, Sarah, another super positive housing story this year is that the mortgage spreads are getting better. Like they are getting noticeably better. So the higher yields that we see now, the spreads are mitigating the damage that would occur. And that's a huge difference this year than last year.
So yes, the headline number had this big job growth, bigger than people thought. But you think that the Fed is going to be paying attention to the wage growth and that, you know, they're not going to fall for like, oh, because, you know, right away this morning, what I heard was like, okay, this really puts rate cuts in peril.
Okay, so take a piece of paper, find a trash, and shoot. Oh, scores again. I'm going to say this with all honesty. the only American, Russian, and Chinese citizens that are hoping that the Fed pushes rates higher to get a recession are people who are generally super bearish or stock traders, right? And like code this year, they are frustrated. The smart ones are saying that the economy is too strong. They have to hike rates. These are the same people that were saying recession in 2022. Jerome Powell said on TV that a stronger labor print, he's, go back and watch the video, does not mean we change our rate projections. The inflationary data, if it accelerated higher, could do that, but it's no longer the labor market. And so many Wall Street, terrible, 14 years, can't call economic cycles. I wish I could challenge every single one of you on TV, but they've told us this now. We cannot use that anymore. What we can say is that if the job growth was booming and then wage growth accelerated with it, then you got a story. That story ended in 2022. The wage growth data has been slowly moving lower and lower and lower. And this is why I get people to consider this. The Fed has their own model on this. Just think 3% wage growth, 1% productivity. Okay, so that's kind of where they're going. If we just continue this trend, we're going to get there without needing to create a job loss recession. So the Fed has the landing's right there. It's if they choose to go to it. And I say this with all honesty, Russia, China, and middle-aged men stock traders in New York, the last thing they want is that 10-year yield to range between 3.37 to 3.80. Because if the spreads are getting better, oh my. We are talking low 6% mortgage rates and sub 6% mortgage rates. That means the one sector of the economy that two-thirds of it is in a recession right now, housing, is now has a little bit of a kick to keep demand stable, slowly rising. That's not what you want to see. So I've tried to stress this for so long. Every cycle needs residential construction workers. We've created jobs in construction, you know, the last few months. So if you want to know why the recession hasn't happened, that was the fifth recession red flag that we raised, right? Permits were falling, new home sales were falling, everything, but it stopped. When did it stop, Sarah? What date was it? November 9th, 2022. That not only changed the housing cycle. You remember all those people that said home prices are going to crash 20% in 2023, and then they said the peak to trough is about 30 or 40%, and that it might take 10 years for home prices to recover. Homie, it recovered in 6 months. Come on. Don't, you're not a housing analyst, please. In any case, for the cycle now.
Let me ask you this. When you say homie, are you including women in that? Is homie just a generic?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're all of us. All of us are in the homie crowd, right? So, by the way, another positive into the sexless men discussion we've had this week, labor force participation growth from women ages 35 to 44 are a big reason why we're getting these numbers. So a very short dissertation. The labor data is still beating my estimates for this period of time. The article actually goes into the whole labor force economic model that I've worked in post-COVID. And until we get to like 140 to 165,000 jobs per month, if we're above that post the revisions, the labor data is still beating my estimates. So a lot of this is women are working. You know, some men just want to stay at home and some men just don't want to work. I don't know, but majority of the country is working. It's a positive. I know the immigration factor has been discussed about a lot, that some of the stress that people were looking for trying to find workers, you know, that is alleviated in itself as well. So let's just kind of focus on this aspect. If wage growth keeps on decelerating, you know, and we don't have to break the labor market, boy, the Fed's got this landing here. But I could tell you right now, if the 10-year yield ranged between 3.37 to 3.8 and we have six and sub 6% mortgage rates, if the spreads get better, just an example, mortgage rates could have been 0.5% or 0.625 basis points higher today on the worst kind of spreads of last year. So it's a noticeable difference. And this is why another whiff call for me this year was, you know, 10-year yield at 4.25 peak, 7.25 mortgage rate peaks. We're not getting that, right? The spreads are keeping that. So the landing is there. It's there. You know, I could just see it. But it does require the Fed to get from this stage to that next stage. And I understand all these people, rates have to go higher. We have to destroy this economy, inflation, and Arthur Burns, everything. An old, cranky, dying clan of people loyal to some gold god who does not exist. And it's been beautiful to watch, Sarah, because this is year 14 of this crew being wrong, right? The fact that the Fed raised rates so much so fast and we didn't get the stock market crash and we didn't get a recession has cornered this group as probably the least talented people we've seen in 100 years, because they keep on saying the same thing over and over again, and they will not stop, not even in death, in the afterlife. They will go down to the abyss with no eyes or tongue or ears, screaming that the Fed's balance sheet has ruined the entire planet. So this war is still here. I can't wait for the next 10 years. But in any case, there's a pathway here. There's a pathway.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this is the most positive you've been about mortgage rates this whole year, right?
Because to me, it's the spreads were a huge problem last year, right? Things were getting better last year up until the Silicon Valley banking crisis. And I always say that, you know, if the spreads just got normal, you don't have to do tax credits or anything like that. You could just bounce the sales up higher and keep them. You know, you're not going to get a booming housing market with mortgage rates above 6%, but at least you could hold this. But when we went to 8% mortgage rates, you know, with the growth rate of inflation falling, it was just like, that's where the Fed talks about, okay, we were way too restrictive, right? So last year, when they went hawkish and all of a sudden the 10-year yield went up and mortgage rates went up, they're like, what's going on here? I don't understand. Now they're just, so hopefully we don't see that clean break. We don't see the spreads getting worse, and we could just land the plane, because literally 2/3 of the housing market is still in a recession. We've lost the apartment boom. Permits are heading down toward possibly even the great recession lows there. So that labor force, those workers, once they finish their construction, are gone. If the single family permits were there, if the builders weren't buying down rates, you might have lost that already as well. The reason that's really critical is that that's usually the first wave of jobless claims rising, and then the multiple impacts go out there outside of that. That's every single economic cycle we've seen, right? This is why I keep on showing those charts for decades. This traditionally has to break, and it didn't. So the people in America who said, you guys are just micro people, we're macro people. Oh, no, homie, macro person. Economic cycles, yield curve inversion, does not have a recession unless the construction breaks. Year two now, right? But I could go back 14 years even too. This is not your thing. Let the nerds do this. This is our kingdom of heaven, right? Stick to your 200-day moving average stock trader lines and all that stuff. Leave the economic stuff to us.
Okay, well, so I have to just jump in here and put in a plug for the nerds that are going to be at the gathering, because we had our prep call yesterday for this session with you, Mike Odedekushi, that I'm going to moderate. So I'm going to have three economic people on that panel, and we have a whole hour. We are giving you guys, it's called Unplugged. We're going to get into some really interesting topics, and I would say to everyone, they should be there. This is a kitty break brought to you by one of Logan's three cats.
Okay, so Cornelius came to the house last night by himself.
Wow.
So he walked in the house, yes. So he's downstairs in the garage, just chilling on the chair. So it's been a lot of activity. Sorry about that. I mean, think about it. Mike, myself, and Odetta, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to go back and forth. And there are things that we disagree about. And I think it's always good when nerds disagree, because then everybody kind of has a different view. Or maybe you'll agree with Mike here, maybe you'll agree with Odetta, but at least other talking points get to be part of the conversation, and then everybody can then decide, okay, maybe I agree with this part, but not this part. And I think that's a good thing about having Unplugged on stage. You know, I mean, it was a great success last year with the mortgage rate lockdown debate when we asked everybody who won.
I'm disputing that.
It's okay. You can dispute it all you want. I truly believe in your mind, you thought you won that debate. So by the way, new listings data up this year, active inventory up this year. So in any case, that's a good thing. And I think having Mike and Odetta, because even Mike and myself, we don't agree. I mean, we're not mortgage rate lockdown people, but it's a whole different reason for that. So I think those kind of conversations are good when you have a group of nerds kind of talking it out.
I think it's going to be a power staging. And one of the things we talk about with the gathering is it's bringing the full picture. And also it's the smartest room, the most powerful room in housing. And I really believe that we have just amazing speakers, and that particular panel is a great example of that. Okay. So Logan, back to our main points here. I'm really happy to hear that you think that there's a path here. The question is, do you think the Fed's going to take it, and how long will it be until they land this plane?
So to me, the market still has 3 rate cuts, but the 10-year yield is still elevated. So again, paper, rock, scissors, you know, labor data over inflation for now. So if jobless claims had been rising, the 10-year yield could go down. But also, if the 10-year yield goes down with the spreads getting better, I mean, we can get into the low sixes very fast, right? If that happens, you need both those variables together. Like I can't get mortgage rates below 5.75% unless, you know, the Fed pivots, which they really haven't. The spread's getting better. It's starting to get better. So one of the three is starting to move in the right direction, okay? Or the labor data gets softer in the sense of claims. Now, the wage growth is falling down. That's a positive, but so far jobless claims are low. So it's just this week, there's so many. I think we had like, what, 4 or 5 Fed presidents saying, oh, we don't want to cut rates. The market still is pricing in 3 rate cuts. If you really want to like keep an eye on this, I know it's nerdy, but look at the 2-year yield. If it goes above 4.74, the higher it goes, the less rate cuts are going to happen. But for now, that's in there. So just remember, to me, we don't have a tight labor market. The tight labor market ended a while ago. We have softness in the labor market, but we're not breaking, right? Breaking is jobless claims just heading up higher. And also remember that, you know, people go, why aren't people filing for unemployment claims? If there's a lot of tech workers that are getting laid off, they got like 6 month severance, right? They don't need to do that stuff. So that's probably the main thing about some of the unemployment claims data. It's kind of stabilized on the continuing claims. So just remember that as the labor market gets less tight, it does become harder to find work when your severance is up. So I think this is why the unemployment rate itself, in my mind, is actually higher than what it is right now, just because how the labor market, this is why we highlight the quits percentages. You know, that article we wrote for Friday for the jobs report, everything is there, right? So I've got to prove to you that the labor market is not tight. It's getting softer right there. But you connect the dots and then you could find a pathway. So the question is, does the Fed try to get ahead of the curve, or do they, you know, kind of just wait until jobless claims break, or do they just go, let's just break the economy like a lot of stock traders want and then try to push for rates higher? So at least now we're in this good talking point area, where last year, you know, God, the spreads were bad, the 10-year yields are breaking, you know. It's just one of these things where I think we're in a better footing, but it's just land the plane, right? That's it. And the wage growth data was very encouraging. So a great reaction, the 10-year yield shot up right away. on the jobs report. Then all of a sudden, it almost gave back all the yields increase. And then President Logan came up and said, "Oh my God, we're going to cut rates." And then it went up again, and then slowly come back. So it's just one of these things where I think everyone's in a little bit better setting right now than they were last year. Last year we had a lot of chaos, but now I think the key line is Powell said, even if we're creating jobs, we don't need, you know, we don't need to break that. And I hope he holds to that one, because that's our thing, right? Since 2022, late 2022, since the Fed spiked the eggnog, I was worried that they truly believe they need to break the labor market because they forecasted it last year. Guys, I hate to tell this to you, but the Fed literally forecasted a job loss recession and it didn't happen. And their model kind of blew up in their face and they're kind of like, well, what do we do now? So hopefully we just go into the landing the plane mode now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, next topic, inventory. Where are we? What do you expect? What's happening?
Inventory, okay, so again, batting a whopping zero still, right? The active inventory growth that we track at Altos Research with rates this high, I mean, really it was rates above 7.25, but still elevated, still looking for that 11 to 17,000 weekly number print. We still haven't had it. Didn't have it last year. Haven't had it so far this year, and we're in April. So we'll see how that goes. The new listings data, I hope it's a little bit stronger this week than last week. We're seeing year-over-year growth, but because we had 1 year where nothing happened, we're starting at all-time lows, I thought that this year could be a little bit better. So we're still seeing new listings positive. That's a plus. That's like the main plus story for housing. But I'm hoping it picks up a little bit more going into the next few weeks. And then that's also a very seasonal data line. So by the time this comes out, we would have already known, we would have established the tracker article. So that's what we're looking for. And, you know, the price cut percentages are increasing on a year-over-year basis. We keep an eye on that. And just remember, you keep it simple. Active inventory, new listings data, price cut percentages on a national basis. If they move negative on pricing, you'll all see it on the weekly data. So you do not want to wait for the Case-Shiller or any of those. Those are too old. Too old, too slow. You don't want to be that. And we just take it on. The market is much calmer now, right? This isn't like COVID. This isn't like 2022. So when you have a market like this, you got to read the internals every single week to get the real clues out here, because it might not be obvious. In 2022, it was really obvious. Home sales had the biggest crash ever recorded in history. Now we've had a bounce on sales. We'll see how the sales go for the rest of the year. But it's just a much different marketplace in 2024.
Logan, thank you so much for being on today. We will talk to you again soon, but it's great to give everybody the real story on what happened with this jobs report and what that means for rates. And it's a positive story, so that's even better.
Yes, and sorry for the scratching. That guy right there. We got 2 stray cats. We got them both in finally together, and it's just both of them are together are driving me my face nuts. It is very itchy. So Remy and Cornelius are both finally in the house. And I don't know. I can't sell my house to be homeless because, again, I got 3 cats now to feed and a tortoise. So I got a lot of mouths to feed here. I got to keep them sheltered.
You've had a lot of mouths to feed. Obviously, that's for those people who watch us on YouTube, which we always post this Logan's episodes on YouTube, so you can watch that there. If you're an audio person, you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. He kept messing with his nose, and we've had a whole conversation about that offline or online with our Twitter.
Yeah, people thought I was on drugs. The people are like, are you on cocaine or something? You know, you're always scratching. I was like, no, I got these 2 stray cats, and they're just making me itch all the time. So it is what it is. I do apologize, but it's cats.
That is hilarious. Okay, well, you know, get busy feeding those mouths. Thank you for coming on with us, Logan. Appreciate you.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show and leave a comment. And make sure to tune in tomorrow for more news and insight.